The Gorecast is brought to you by American Horrors, the greatest uncut horror channel in the world. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all horror. As well as the Station of Decapitation, Without Your Head.
America's longest running horror channel, www.withoutyourhead.com.
The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
What's up, Gorecasters? Welcome back here to the Gorecast with me, Johnny Deadly, and all of the rest of the horror miscreants that encompass the show, as well as two of the funny faces from our Halloween group watch that we all enjoyed. I had a bloody good time at House Harker, so hopefully we're about to have a bloody good time here. Welcome in. Derek and Jacob, how are you both getting on today?
Hey, you
sound a little weird. I sound great. A little weird.
Sounds good to me.
Yep.
Yeah, everything sounds good.
Oh, I know what that is. I will sort that in a moment.
Carker often does a quality check for us so that we know that we're coming through properly on YouTube, because sometimes we don't, and we're just standing there, it's just mouths talking with no audio. It's happened once or twice, not often. Best safe than sorry.
Could just be the sound of my voice. My voice, it just sounds like...
I don't know.
Well, is it...
Yeah.
Is it
Carker?
We got Hader and we got Joseph. Hi, Hader. Hi, Joseph. No, because it was too good.
We were the ones who were bamboozled.
In a good way.
Yes! We did it. Yes.
Can't hear you, man.
Bamboozled.
Johnny.
We love...
Nope.
Just Johnny?
Can you hear everybody else? Probably a delay on it, so he needs to wait a couple of seconds before he can figure it out.
I can hear everybody but Johnny.
Okay.
Okay, well,
welcome everybody, as we are here to interview Derek and Jacob from the fantastic I Had a Bloody Good Time at House Harker, which is a movie that initially we put on as part of our Halloween group watch that we thought, you know, this looks like something that we can probably, you know, do like a Mystery Science 3000 kind of thing on, and we put it on, and we just went, holy crap, this is actually amazing, this is great. Where did this come from? We've been completely ambushed and it's fantastic. So we decided that since everybody in the group chat, our group watch, enjoyed watching it, we'd treat you all to a Christmas present of bringing along two of the hilarious people that brought that film forward. In fact, some would say two of the people that were primarily responsible. I'm not one of those some, but some of those people in this interview might be coming to...
From all the research that I did, it was the two men primarily responsible for making the movie happen. Yeah.
I don't know. Some people, that's the rumor that I heard.
You we know, will confirm. We will confirm that that is absolutely true, that Derek Hagen and Jacob Gibbons are primarily responsible for this movie.
But when we decided to like put it out there, though, Jacob was like, does it look stupid that all of our names are in all these things? And so we decided to split it up.
Mm-hmm.
So we created a Noel Carroll and a Clayton
Cogswell and a Tim Sloan and an Ashley.
I get it. Sometimes it's just so good that you have to invent other personas so that those that view your works don't
That,
you know, how could those two guys just do it all their own? Clearly they have to have had some kind of help. And you gotta sell that.
House Harker is like the Clumps. It's like the Clumps. Derek and I play every role. Derek's Whitney Moore is just mwah.
Oh, you won me over. That was the role right there.
It's really the Fight Club. House Harker is really the Fight Club.
It's the Fight Club of B-horror movies. Yep.
I'm even more so if I wasn't.
Yeah. Actually, to be fair, when we stuck it on, and the opening of the movie is very serious, and you're kind of led to believe that you're going to be watching this very intense movie about Jonathan Harker and his kid, and you know Mina Murray, and they're fighting off this uber powerful vampire who's decided to use the remains of Dracula to kind of empower himself and be the new top alpha dog. And just as you're getting into it, it's revealed that the entire thing is a stage play being put on for this poor, unfortunate house inspector who has basically been shanghaied and forced to watch this as the lads tried to demonstrate this is what we're going to do to bring people in our money and fix up this house that we said we were going to do.
Yes. That fake intro really got a lot of people that, you know, when the movie was coming out and they would turn it on, they were like, the first 5 minutes they were going, oh no, what did Jacob make? Like, what did they put together? This is going to be awful. And then when that reveal happened, there was this huge sigh of relief of like, oh, thank God, it's
that
funny.
It's a comedy.
That is actually literally captured on live stream because that was pretty much the reaction of everybody. It was like, okay, this fight's kind of high production. I don't really know where it's going or anything. And then it cuts back to the stage show a bit. And we were like, oh. Yeah. That was around the time that I was like, I think we picked the wrong movie for the show we were looking to do.
For what we wanted to do, wrong movie. For what we're doing, right movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, off the bat. All the Gorecast and the GC crew that are out there in the chat and everything, everybody genuinely loves this movie that watched it with us. Oh, yeah. It's just so funny. The humor's, you have that kind of modern gamer style video humor in it. There's a lot of kind of quick cut comedy going in there, and it just worked really well, I think.
I really enjoyed the setup with the knife for the whole stage prop thing. He's kind of like, oh, I can't wait for that to come. There it goes.
Damn. Yeah, you know, if you don't mind, Derek, I was going to tell them that one of the reasons why it has that quick cut style is we cut our teeth as a team on YouTube. And so out of the gate, we knew when we were making web series, everything had to, within 3 to 5 minutes, really land. It had to be punchy. It had to be, you know, keep and retain the audience. And so when we went into making this as a feature film, we knew we wanted to kind of keep that energy going and keep it up high the whole time. So I think it really translated through the movie, yeah.
And that's how
a lot of people have trouble.
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was just saying that the script was written as a web series. Like, we'd have episode one, episode two. Like, we broke it down like that at first.
Okay.
And then we put it, and then Jacob went in. I mean, Jacob was the primary writer, but we'd all meet up together, and then we would go notes and stuff and jokes, and then Jacob would go to his cave and to type away, and then he would come back, and then we'd have like an episode one, and then we'd read that episode, and then we'd give notes, and he'd go back and retool it, and is that how you remember it, Jacob?
Yeah, and then we do, at some point in time, we just said, why are we making this a web series? This should be a movie, because just the way that it all flowed together, it just felt more like a feature film.
And was it the episodes kind of naturally flowed like a feature, or was it as you were kind of doing it episodically, you were like, this would be much better if we just stick it all together as one?
I think that everything we'd done, which I know everybody watching wouldn't necessarily know Good Cops or Tumbleweed, but everything that we'd put together, once we watched it together, we were like, this actually kind of flows like one cohesive story. So as we were in the making of this and we were coming up with yet another web series that would end up on YouTube and God knows who would see it, we were like, if we strung this all together and really made it flow, then I think it could be a good feature. And that's where I think that it began to translate much more into like an indie comedy horror, you know. But that's why there's so many, there's literally bit. A lot of people who watch the film, they know it's very fast. It's very, very fast. And I think that comes from kind of where it all started.
Weirdly enough, I actually, once again, Buzz let us all know about Tumbleweed and Good Cops, and we all watched them and enjoyed them. But because the way that, especially with Good Cops, well, I suppose I noticed it with Tumbleweed as well, because the credits come up at the end of the last episode, I actually had it in my head that it was the reverse, that, you know, you'd done these things as kind of like, well, maybe not so much Tumbleweed, but Good Cops, I could see like the intention being that this is like a couple of, like, just the one film or the one half hour thing, and then you broke it up. But to know now that it's actually the reverse that you went in, it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, all right, that makes a certain kind of sense, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, Good Cops was only supposed to be a one-off.
Yeah.
And then people liked it, and so we wrote two more episodes. Like, we didn't know who the Night Flasher was until, I don't know, episode three or
something. The Night Flasher.
We didn't even know.
We just were making it up as we were going. Honestly,
yeah, like, we didn't.
That's a film style we can all get behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, people were like, you have to make another episode. Like, well, this is supposed to be a one-off.
Well, and actually, Derek, remember when we told people that we were going to make Good Cops, they were like, please don't, because it was an inside joke amongst us.
Oh, yeah, people hated the idea. We would pitch it to all of our friends and family, and they're like, please don't.
They were like, please don't make this web series.
Everyone hated the idea of Good Cops, and then we did it, and then they're like, okay, we get it now. Make more.
Sometimes you just can't sell somebody by just trying to explain it to them. It's that visual, you know, like once you see it put together, that makes all the difference.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Now, is that the first thing that you guys worked on together, or was there stuff before that, or like, where was the start of all this?
Derek, go ahead.
If you ask other people in the group, they'll tell you different stories. But the way I remember it is that I met Clayton, the director, through my friend Josh. And then I met Noel and Jacob through my friend Josh as well. We were, Jacob and Noel came in, and they were just full of energy. To this day, they don't know I was there in the room. talked to Josh, and that was the first time I met them. And then when we really got to know each other was at our friend Josh's bachelor party. And then eventually we went to a birthday party, and that's where Good Cops came up, because we were talking about how 80s movies, the hero is the cop, but they're always like the worst person in the world. Like, they would be in jail. And so I remember Jacob was in the kitchen and he was yelling at his pretend wife, and he's like, damn it, I'm a good cop. And he threw his hand on the refrigerator. And that was the first time I remember us talking about Good Cops, and we were just laughing so much. And then every time we got together after that, we would talk about these stupid characters, and then they had names, Nikki, Perkins, Sledge, and we talked about it for about a year and a half until Jacob wrote the first script.
Yeah, and with one stipulation. Am I allowed? How risque can I get on those?
Oh, we don't care. Go for it.
Oh, dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a literal parental and child warning that comes up at the start.
Okay,
of the show.
Good. So it was the very first episode. I told the guys, I said, I think I have an idea on how to write this into a first episode. And Derek said, I have one requirement. He goes, I want to be getting a beach. He said, that's the
mandatory.
One thing you got to
mandatory. Mandatory.
And I said, done. So I sent him the script. I sent it to Noel. And so Derek is Perkins. I'm Nikki in the series. And our buddy Noel is Sledge. And we were the three good cops. And our buddy Clayton, who is a very talented director, the director of House Harker, very gifted guy. We knew that if we could convince him to film Good Cops, then it would work. He was the only guy that could get the complete ridiculous style to it. And so we sent it to him, and he was like, all right, I'm in. And he you know, even as we were filming it, I don't know if he understood what that
was. I don't know. I think he didn't want to do it until we were finally shooting.
I think so,
he even tried to get out of it, and he got chicken pox that
Yeah,
day.
He got adult chicken pox while we were filming.
Oh, not fun.
We thought he was faking because he was bitching and moaning the whole time. We're like, I'll just get out here.
He was like, I don't.
So you could have just said no. You didn't have to go
like,
that.
I don't feel good, guys. We're like, shut up.
You don't feel good about the project? Like, no, I mostly feel really warm and itchy about the project.
He called us the next day. He's like, guys, I have chicken pox. And we were like, oh no.
I feel so bad for what I said to you yesterday.
I spent $7.50 on these sunglasses. You're getting your ass out of here right now.
Oh, it was so good.
Hey.
I'm getting my on-screen beige, awesome. And that's the way it's going, goddammit. Get on camera.
So I've been
guaranteed a beige. Yeah. So it's
I'm calling it a beige from now on, by the way. I'm never saying
yes.
A DJ again.
Yes, that's got to be the requirement. It's been about 12 years that we've been working together, and then, you know, it all kind of from Good Cops and Tumbleweed, then it led to House Harker, which is what brings us here today. And it was truly a labor of love, and something that almost killed everyone involved in making the movie, that's for sure. So
yeah, we all have our horror stories. Yeah. And some of us, like Clayton, still doesn't like to talk about it. He gets the shakes.
He's like,
I was
watching an interview, Derek, that you did. Your mom played the neighbor. Is that what I heard?
Yeah. Avis was
loved her.
She was awesome.
The angry shotgun toting neighbor.
Yes. The angry shotgun toting neighbor is in real life Derek's.
And I must ask: Was mom hired as angry shotgun toting neighbor for a reason?
Well, the guys did not want her to do it because they met her and she thinks she's the sweetest person in the world, and it's like this woman has to be like super mean. I'm like, well, I grew up with her.
I grew up with her. She's got this. Trust me.
I could get her mad. If you wanted me to. And she was the stay home mom, and she was strict but also fair. But there's moments where I'm like, I got that evil eye when I was out of line. I'm like, I think she'd be a perfect Mavis. And so we went out there to do, we scouted some locations, and we actually had her audition, which was horrible that I made my mom audition. But she was like, I don't know, two or three bottles of wine in, and she had a BB gun, and she was pointing at everybody, and she was hilarious, and she took her teeth out, and
she had her bridge in, and she took it out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was, oh my God, and that video is up somewhere, I think I posted it.
Her audition tape.
Somewhere, yeah. Where she did the audition. Amazing. Yeah, it's hilarious.
I love those scenes with her and the husband. It was so funny. He's like, well, I'm gonna go get killed by my wife.
Yeah.
Listen, guys, I don't care what you're doing over here, but my wife is gonna kill me in my sleep. I don't care.
So I have to come over here and pretend to be really angry at you boys right now and tell you to keep it down. Yeah. That's okay. Where the former priest slash mom's husband, where did you acquire him? Because he is
mom's husband. Where did you acquire him? Because he is
Am I in or out?
I can hear me.
Can anybody hear me still?
Yeah.
I can. You're frozen.
Frozen.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Derek's frozen.
Welcome back.
Someone's playing Gears 4. What
the shit?
Do I leave and come back?
Maybe leave and come back.
Maybe leave and come back.
I'd say something disconnected on your end because we're hearing everything back.
All right, I'm going to leave and come back.
Well, you just got me now.
So that's what
now
we
he's
sound
gone.
Like, gross.
No, he's 100% with you.
Now it's my turn. Well, I actually, you just asked a really good question about Arlen, who's an amazing actor, but Derek is the best equipped to address them because he and him have kind of known each other for the longest, for sure. So, Derek, you're slowly coming back to us. We can hear your voice.
Yeah, we can hear you, but we can't see you.
And there's no feedback.
But,
I don't know if you're on a laptop or a phone or whatever, but if I...
Phone.
Was it?
Yeah.
I think.
It was like his camera and mic disconnected.
It's okay, they happen to us all the time. And character's correct, but usually they blame me.
Yeah, we're right. Because most of the time.
While we wait for Derek to come back, Harlan actually had one of my most memorable scenes out of the whole thing, which was when he was trying to fend off the vampires with the crucifix tattoo. I died when that happened live on camera.
That was a bit dreamed up. While we were in the writing circle together, and we died laughing about this idea of this crucifix tattoo and having it sunken.
Yeah.
And then our makeup artist did just a fantastic job of those droopy arms and him being able to go like that. And there were so many bits. While we were filming, one of the things that's worth mentioning is that all that snow that you saw at the end of the film, that all happened in one night. We got hit with a polar vortex, and it was 21 or 22 inches in one night. Holy crap, when we were scheduled to film the movie, we would talk to a lot of the locals, and Derek was, you know, from that part, and they were like, you should be fine as long as it's before this date in November. Well, a very unseasonal snowstorm came, and so we rewrote like the last 20 minutes of the film to adjust to this snowstorm happening. So it was crazy because that happened after our first week. And so we knew the polar vortex was coming. We laid down a tarp on the front yard so that we could pull back the snow once we were falling and make it look like it hadn't snowed yet. And then we had all these bits during the big kind of onslaught and attacking the vampires in the house that were going to come out, you know, out in the yard. And it just got so cold and it was too dangerous. So we were like, okay, we're really going to have to bring a lot more of this battle inside. So it was crazy because that was a real thing that did happen.
I don't know what the battle outside would have looked like, but I thought the inside battle was perfect, though. Like, having to restructure now that I know that. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. You guys killed it in the house, though.
I think it may have so nearly worked. It nearly worked in your favor because there was this.
Yeah.
What's the name of the movie? There was nearly this kind of attack the block or slash the raid kind of vibe. It was like there was a lot of action going on in a very small space, and it was very fast, very claustrophobic, but it made for very interesting cinema for that fight sequence. Like, genuinely worked out in your favor, I think.
Yeah, it was a happy accident. It wasn't that there was too much more, but we had some set pieces of people, you know, out in the yard, and then when you're dealing with a small space like that, you don't know how much you can really milk the environment for going room to room to room, like we're in, you know, Old Boy or whatever. And it's like we had to figure out a way. And then once we were limited, it was like once we got them into the cellar and they had to slowly work their way up this house, it actually ended up making the film so much more chaotic and claustrophobic that it really, I think it enhanced the end of the movie for sure.
There's a notable love of cinema I noticed between Good Cops, House Harker, and Tumbleweed. Not just cinema, but like kind of pop culture and gaming as well, because there's a lot of tropes, shall we say. Like, say, in House Harker, there's a lot of your standard vampire movie tropes that you guys kind of take the piss out of very effectively. Same with Tumbleweed. Like, episode 2, I was like, okay, we're dealing with Red Dead Redemption here. I see where we're going with this. Like, you'd automatically lean towards Red Dead because of the kind of the cowboy vibes anyway, but as you go slowly in and little bits start to show up and you're kind of like, okay, this isn't like just, oh, we're going for a Red Dead thing. We're going for a Red Dead thing, you know?
Oh, dude,
what kind of inspired the House Harker storyline?
So, honestly, 100%, Derek came to us when we were done with Tumbleweed and everything. We were thinking about our next project. And I know he would love to tell this, but I'm going to tell what he said, which he came in the room and he said, I want to make vampires scary again. Because during this time, it was the height of Twilight coming up. And not only that, but things like...
You got a nice little gag reaction for him. Sorry.
It's a bad time. So
he was talking. We were talking about not only that series, but also that vampires had always become sexy over the past 10, 15 years. It was like slow-mo walking scenes with their robes open and techno music and blood sprinklers. I mean, it was like, you know what I mean? It was like everything was so sexy and smooth. And he was like, I miss the fucking Nosferatu, like the beast, the monsters, like they're scary. They're fucking scary. And he's like, I think we should bring monsters back. And so that was really the thing that all of us were like, yes. And our director, Clayton, all of us are huge movie nuts. You know, we love movies. We're diehard movie fans. And what's
Derek that? Derek just messaged. He won't let him back in.
Oh, dang it. That's unfortunate.
I resent him the link. I don't know if that will do anything, or I don't know.
You guys chat for a minute, and I'll see if there's something I can do on my end.
Yeah. So
anyway, you were saying?
Yeah. So he just said he wanted to make a monster film, and we were all sold on this idea. And the first visual, I think, that I remember him coming up with, and I can't remember how he came up with it, but it was the whole bit about sucking the blood out of somebody with a shop vac. And how that was going to work its way into the story, I don't think we necessarily knew. But the early iterations of this film, we were calling it things like the Van Helsing Bros. That's actually was kind of where it all began. And then we realized, we're like, you know, in classic Good Cops Tumbleweed form, we like to take kind of the more side road to things. And we were like, the funny thing is if you read Bram Stoker's Dracula, it's fucking Jonathan Harker who gets like almost no credit at all for all the shit that he's getting put through. You know, Van Helsing gets all this claim, and here he is, like, you know, right as Quincy's getting knifed, like, Jonathan Harker's the one who jumps in, does the final blow, and you're like, here's this guy who has this legacy that everybody's completely ignored, the Harkers, and how funny would it be to have the relatives, the distant descendants, who are like, we are the heroes. We're the ones who deserve all the credit. And so some of those things were the springboards that really brought the story together. Wanting to bring the monster back, hilarious sight gag of a shop vac, and then taking this family of losers, if you will, and making them heroes.
When you were talking about the notion of, you know, making the bring back the Nosferatu style vampire, all that went to my head is that scene where they've hired the dude to be a vampire. He's dressed up in your fucking, you know, the Hammer House style Dracula. Yeah. Runs at the other guy. He's kind of like, oh man, they double booked it. Fuck's sake.
That's such a great sequence. Damien Bauer, who plays our gigantic my co-star from Twirl, he's a very, very tall fellow. He's like 6'7", 6'8".
Yeesh.
And we only had him for a couple days, and we thought it would be just so funny that here's this actor that I've already pitched to my friends as the Daniel Day-Lewis of, you know, he's like such a good actor. And we see him in the car, and he's got that, you know, terrible, cheesy, you know, Munsters type makeup on, as if he's going to really sell being a vampire. Anyway, but that's that whole shot with him getting lifted up off the ground and the blood raining down, I love. That's one of my favorite moments in the movie.
I love Twirl. That was...
Oh, dude.
Absolutely love that.
Oh, I was just going to point out, Giz, you're off the hook. Derek is taking the hit for this. He's like, I shouldn't have talked shit about my mom.
Yeah. That's what happens when you bring the moms into it. It never goes well.
Oh, good.
Puts bad juju out in the world.
Yeah, his mom pulled the plug. She's like, I will not have this. She's wonderful, and they have such a good relationship.
My mom was the same when it comes to the podcast. She, like, for years just could not get through her head. I did a podcast at midnight, and somehow, like, the minute I'd hit live, my mom would ring me constantly.
We'd be about to start filming stuff on the green screen, and it had actually gotten to the stage where, boy, whenever we were about to film anything, it's kind of like, we're just going to wait, we're all set up, let's just wait a couple of minutes, and there's the phone.
That's too funny.
We can hear you.
The hearing is happening. Son of a bitch!
I mean, hearing's at least a good part.
Seeing is believing.
Yeah.
Well, you're gorgeous.
While we have you here for a second, one of the questions I have for both of you guys is, are you guys really, like, big into horror? Because I know House Harker is kind of the one horror comedy, but your other stuff is different. Are you guys a big horror fans? And what are some of your favorite horror films?
Derek is a diehard horror guy. So am I. So is Clayton. Noel, who plays Charlie, my brother, is not a diehard horror guy. He comes more from comedy. But Derek, while he's here, could dive in. He's got a huge library of horror under his belt. Derek, are you there?
I love him.
Oh,
you're talking to the right crowd.
The dominant or something like that. It's hilarious. I love it. And then I'm going to watch my Christmas favorite B movie is Jack Frost.
We only did that for last year's Christmas. That movie is so fantastically terrible.
Yeah, so I watch a lot of like B movie horror movies, and then I like, you know, my favorite one this year so far is Barbarian. So that one's really good. But I guess if I had to choose, it would be like the horrible B movies, where people are just doing everything they can to get a movie done, and it turns out awfully awesome. Which one of my favorites is Llamageddon, if you haven't seen that.
Yo!
We were trying to find a copy for rent or purchase to do that. Llamageddon actually came up as one of the movies we were going to do for the Halloween group watch, but we couldn't. What was it? It was on Amazon in America, but it wasn't on Amazon in Europe.
We were having an issue with the region stuff that's available in the States wasn't available in Ireland. So it was like we had to find something that we all could watch at the same time. And that one was unfortunately not one of them.
Well, I was, you know, when I was a kid, I loved movies like Fright Night, and that was a big one for me, the original.
My favorite.
I used to watch that on repeat, and, you know, grew up with Nightmare on Elm Street and whatnot. But when I was in high school, a group of friends and I used to, we saw Ed Wood, you know, the movie with Johnny Depp. And so we all kind of became obsessed with outdoing each other with like really bad movies. And we started collecting like Glenn or Glinda and the Ed Wood movies. And Plan 9 and whatnot. And then that moved us into Peter Jackson's early stuff with Bad Taste.
Brain Dead.
And Brain Dead. Dead Alive, as we call it over here. And so we would sit around and try to outdo each other with like the craziest movie and Bad Taste, you know, Dead Alive, Evil Dead 1 and 2.
Meet the Feebles.
And I saw Meet the Feebles, and I was never the same again after seeing that one. Oh my God.
I'm a big fan of the Muppets, and I saw Meet the Feebles, and I just went, holy
shit. Yeah, that'll change it.
Oh, my God. It'll change it. I think that if people say, when did you lose your innocence? I think it's after I saw Meet the Feebles, for sure. So,
that definitely changed something.
But that was really the stuff that I grew up on, and so it meshed perfectly with Derek's sensibilities, and then Clayton also has a similar background, so the three of us. And then Noel's got the comedy chops, which we all love comedy as well, but that's what makes House Harker what it is that everybody loved B horror, bad horror, and comedy.
Yeah, you know? I don't know how scary House Harker is.
It's not necessarily scary.
Yeah, you know, but I think we did the best we could, but I think our sensibilities is probably comedy. You know,
I don't know. I think you guys found like the awesome mix of like, yeah, like you said, it's comedy, it's horror based, but you guys sold just a great movie. You know, it had a little bit of everything. It gives nods to horror. It has its own level of comedy. Well, so I just think it was a great mix.
I'm gonna save that bit and make it my ringtone. What you just said there.
Yeah, I know. I want to record him saying that so we can show the others involved that people do.
Yeah. I'll cut you the clip out. We'll send it to you. Don't worry. Giz and I have discussed this on the show several times over on American Horrors. That it's. I think the reason, like back in the 80s, when like the slasher films and stuff like that, when horror was kind of like majorly in its heyday. A lot of that came down to the fact that there was this integration of comedy in there. Like comedy and horror work really, really well together. Like when you have a bunch of kids getting chased around by something that's looking to murder them, having these slight moments of comedic brevity that give you a bit of a breather enhance the story a lot. And I think that's one of the reasons the House Harker movie worked so well. There's just this when you're doing the horror, you're doing the horror great. And when you're doing the comedy, you're doing the comedy great, and occasionally they intersect with each other as well, but it's just I think it's something that a lot of the modern horror movies have missed, and it was something that we as a Gorecast community really enjoyed with your movie, was that it was fun as well as being scary and gory and creepy at the same time.
Oh,
There were one or two cringy parts where I was just like, oh, gods. But apart from that, just Ned's confession of love, I was just sitting there going, oh.
Yeah, I think that was designed to be cringy, though.
Yeah, and Ned pledging his love next to his big-breasted carving of the mermaid.
I even said it when we were reviewing it. I often, you know, when it comes to cringy humor, I'm not often a fan of it. So even when we were reviewing it, I was like, there's a lot of stuff in this that had me in tears. There's a lot of stuff that I was just like, ugh. But there was a lot of stuff that had me in tears.
Well, let's put it this way. You watched the movie, right? And you saw the character of Ned. So would you see him doing a Don Juan suave...
I was not expecting that. I don't know why.
But I think that's, you know, those moments of like, what, because like you can get into a vibe when you're watching a film and you're like, okay, I expect it to come out here. Like you can kind of get a feel for how a movie's moving. And I
was going to say, weirdly enough, after watching Good Cops, and seeing Perkins, now I would expect it a bit.
Yeah. Perkins, you know, that's the funny thing is that Perkins, you know, Good Cops comes first, and Perkins, our sex machine cop, he got his way every time he wanted to do anything. So this was really a turn of getting Ned and taking that power away from him, you know, still believing in his head that he could do it, but not having the power.
Yeah, no woman wanted Ned, especially Paige. I remember when we were shooting that scene and Whitney Moore first saw the statue. That was the first time she saw it, was at that scene when we flipped over and she was just staring at it, and we were like, what's going on? She's like, you know, if someone presented this to me, I think I would love them. And
Whitney, the fact that it took you 10 minutes to come up with that decision leads me to believe that that's probably not the way it would have gone initially.
Who made the statue?
Derek, he was an artist who lived in near that part where we filmed, right?
Yeah, that was a $500 joke, and he hated that he couldn't finish it. We're like, we don't want it to be look good except the breast. He's like, so you don't want me to finish it? No. Okay.
He didn't finish it, and he
we told him not. He's like, you don't want any details in the face? No, just the breast. So I can't make it good on just the breast.
We want you to do the boobs like it's a proper commission piece, and then forget about everything else that we told you once the boobs are done.
Forget about everything else.
Everything else.
Your money.
Yeah.
One of our producers kept this statue. He kept the statue for the longest time on his patio out by Lake Michigan.
Lake Superior.
It's Lake Superior. Sorry, the other one. And it's Lake Superior, and somebody stole it.
Are you serious?
It's gone.
Every summer, you'd have the canoers and the boats would go by, and they would
like, go by, and there'd be the sand. Just in the
All right. Yeah.
It's so good.
Go ahead, Derek. Was a few times where he would, because, you know, it's a small town, so he would be at a gas station or something, and people would be like, hey, you ever see that statue up over there on the going through Lake Superior at the Canal Park? And so he would hear people talk about it, and so it kind of grew a legend, and someone eventually stole it and they liked it so much, or didn't like it. I don't know.
Either they might have put it in a wood chipper for all we
know. I'm
from Michigan, so I'm near the Lake Superior, so I'll keep
Buzz, we're going to need you to go to all of the college dorms around Michigan now. You feel it's probably it's in some frat house.
Oh, that's hilarious. In a frat house.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That was my thoughts exactly.
It's in some frat house.
We always try to turn convention on its head a little bit. Obviously, you can see from the statue, it has this piercing arm. And from the moment you see it, a lot of people who saw the film, they're like, well, obviously, the bad guy is going to get impaled on the end of this. And that's a perfect example of while we were bringing this film together, we're like, nope, we're going to set things up and do that. And then another thing. Another thing that we did was originally. Go ahead, Derek.
Well, some of that was budget constraint. Like when we first wrote the script, it would probably.
Yeah.
$5 million movie. The original ending, where the vampire was supposed to fall through the ceiling and go down into the basement, and he was going to land on about 20 different wood sculptures that Ned made that Jerry was hiding down there all these years. And telling him it was stolen.
Oh, that was the original joke.
That was the original ending.
I forgot that. Wow. I forgot that, Derek. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Jerry had been given so many wood carvings that he had pretended that it got stolen, but he had shoved them in his basement.
Yeah. And he was going to just... And we left one of the jokes in there.
Were they going to be all, just out of curiosity, were they all going to be perfectly breasted, not much else wood carvings?
They were, I think.
Probably.
Well, we were going to do like a perfectly breasted raccoon, a perfectly breasted squirrel.
A raccoon. The Noah's Ark of tits.
Just be clear, you were going to do a raccoon? And, a raccoon.
Ned was known for his breast work, apparently. But yeah, that was the original ending. And then we went places to places and got turned down and realized, well, the only way we're going to make this movie is if we make it very low budget. And then that's when we went back and Jacob had to do a lot of rewrites on that, especially that ending. We couldn't figure out how we were going to make that ending work because it was supposed to be big. And so we're like, I don't know who came up with it, but it was like, well, let's just do the opposite. Let's set it up to be big, and then it'll be a little blood splatter, you know, for the big guy. And that's how we kind of came. Yeah, so some of the creativeness came from just constraints of having no money.
Yeah, it's true. I you know, it's so fun. It's been so many years now that I've forgotten how we chased making this with some big time financing, and everybody would be like, no.
Do you think the constraints actually, like, I know, say, like, that original ending would have been hilarious stuff like that, but the overall product that you put out at the end that we all saw is a very well-oiled comedic and horror machine from start to finish. As you said, like, the movie is pretty much relentless. There's very few slow moments in the movie. It's constantly going. And I wonder, do you think that the movie benefited from the constraints more than suffered of budget?
I do, because I think that the tone of the film is 100% this group of people. I think that the Halsarger film is us, and if you added $1 million or, you know, $500,000 from some investor, it wouldn't have had us. It would have had somebody else saying, I know you guys think that's really funny, but I just think, you know, there would have been a lot of like cooks in the kitchen telling us what we had to do, because there was so much money involved. So for me, what is so great about this movie is it is unapologetically our team. And that makes me really proud of it, you know?
Can't talk up the movie enough. Genuinely love it. So good.
I think that's what I like about, you know, a lot of those films is like, you have to figure out, okay, well, we don't have a way to make something explode. So you have to figure out camera angles. You have to figure out how to do stuff. And I think, you know, that's why I'm such a fan of the films that have to fight harder to get their stuff out there.
Yeah.
Especially since there's a lot of times that people try to work around budget constraints and it doesn't come off as well as he managed to do it. You can see where they got stuck. You can see where they tried to work around it, and fair play to them. But for whatever reasons, they couldn't make it work. Whereas you guys, whatever, if you didn't say that you had been restricted by budget constraints, we wouldn't know, because we figure that's what you wanted to do in the first place.
Yeah.
Well, you were going for like a B-style horror movie anyway. So, I mean, they're not renowned for being high budget in the first place. So it did look very intentional.
Exactly.
That this is the way we're going with this.
I mean, we would have loved a Shaun of the Dead budget.
Oh.
We would have loved it, right? That was the dream going into it, you know. As we would have loved it.
Once it all said and done, we're like, yeah, sure. The budget constraints really made the movie, but doing it, we're like, man, we could really use some money right now to pay the lead these lights on. Clayton's like, I got to pay a mortgage, guys. I got to get another job here. I can't finish the movie right now. Okay, Clayton, go get another job or chicken pox or whatever you're gonna get. And we'll pick up the slack, you son of a bitch. And I would have loved to make it for $5 million. That would have been great. But yeah, you will never know what kind of, unless we do the sequel.
Sequel.
Crowdfunding right now. $5 million starting.
Yeah.
I think he's
go ahead.
I mean, when you're in it, you always want more money. But yeah, once it all now that it's all said and done, looking at it, I'm very proud of the movie, and I know Jacob is, and I think even Clayton and Noel are. It took from once we started shooting it, it took almost about a year and a half to 2 years to see the finished product, which does seem like a long time, but for a budget like that, I think we were moving really quickly. Once you've actually done it and you talk to other independent filmmakers, like making a movie for a micro budget and then getting it done in about a year and a half from when you start shooting, that's actually pretty quick.
It's not a bad turnover.
But you're in the middle of it, you're just like, wow, this is taking so long. Anyway. Was I talking too much shit, Jacob?
No, you're fine. Jacob. What's is that your face isn't seen, so it's like you're completely blank.
Yeah, I did kind of. I don't know why I picked what's probably the angriest picture of Derek to replace the lack of camera.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
It's just like.
But Joseph from our chat says we've all seen big budget movies bomb because of people that didn't know what they were doing. So, I mean, like, you know, money's not always the answer, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I agree. And I agree. And I think we all see in hindsight, it's just, it is funny because we were obviously very, very young, ambitious, and we had made all these web series. And by the time we get to this point, there's already, we're sitting around, we're going, do you think we could get Bruce Campbell? Maybe we could get Bruce Campbell. And we're like having these conversations as if we're going to be able to step into the horror market and just like, boom, explode. And when that didn't happen, it was like, well, let's just do it ourselves. But what exists to this day is it's our movie, and so it is exactly what it was supposed to be. It calls out, you know, the fact that Jerry is in this terrible movie called Squirrel, and we have several moments where we're self-referencing bad movies, and then there's a part where Ned is hanging tarps, and I say, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "I'm like, it looks like painters are coming over." And he says, "Have you seen our budget?" I mean, that was literally us saying to ourselves, "This is funny. We're making this movie, you know, for next thing." Yeah.
And I love that you just said that we were young, Jacob. I was 40 when we shot this, but I'll take it.
We were young at heart. We were young, Derek. We were young at heart.
We knew better, but we did it anyway.
And so I just want to point out that Night of the Living Dead was low budget and public domain, but people love it. I mean, it's one of those films that, you know, for $5, it turned out to be something that the fan loves, or the fans love.
That movie is amazing. I agree.
Absolutely amazing.
Well, boys, I have to cut out. I'm so sorry. Jacob, are you going to,
I'm going to stick around as long as they need me.
Can I answer that one question? You said, was there a funny story about something that happened on
set? Yeah, by all means.
Yeah. I was going to ask if there was any like hilarious off-camera stuff that happened, you know, bloopers or fuck-ups or whatever that happened while you were trying to get stuff done.
Yes. The one I'm going to pick is there was a one-er that we did at the party scene where the camera follows the writer. And then it goes into the house and it comes out. We shot that, I think, 5 times. On the 5th take, you'd think that one of us would know when you're going through heat, which is the house. We had the heater on, like, I don't know, it was 80 in there because it was so cold that night. And then you're going out of the house and it's like, you know, 10 above. And then you go into the warm heat. You'd think we would know that a glass is probably going to crack, and eventually the lens on the camera, it was a $900 lens, did crack, and we couldn't do that take again, and Clayton was not 100%, he didn't know if we had it or not, because we were about to roll again, and he's like, we can't roll because the lens cracked. And that was
a big one.
I was like, well, I guess we'll figure out if we got it or not later.
So 5 takes it is, guys. 5 takes. Got it. Yeah.
Yeah. So 5 takes it is. So we ended up using it, and it worked out. I thought before Derek has to go, I was gonna say he was gonna say the one. You guys know the shot of the movie where he sees Paige for the first time and he rotates completely around.
Yeah.
That shot, he is sitting on top of this device that we built for the movie, which is controlled by, I don't even the term, the guy helped build it, Alan. It's in like construction, and it's this compressor thing that if you push it too fast, it would literally whip Derek around and split him in half, and he'd like die.
Yeah.
And we did not tell that to Derek until after we get the shot.
How'd the take go? Glad that went well. I'll put it that way.
And if
Alan's like, thank God nobody pushed the button too far, or we would cut Derek in half.
Hey, whoa, cut who in half? Whoa.
Derek. It doesn't matter. Get up there, you big dumb animal.
If it makes you feel any better, I have been in a similar situation myself where if I do something, someone turns around and goes, well, it's a good thing that happened, boy, because of this.
Yeah. What? I've put Gid's body on the line endlessly for film shoots.
It was pretty scary.
Not you.
And when you look at the wide shot, you see my head missing that the floor. I'm like an inch, you know, and just,
like this, like just a little bit faster, and you just go.
That's kind of one of the magic things about doing the lower budget movies, though. Are you get these crazy stories of shit like this from the lower budget movies? Because you don't have the high budget. B, if you do have a high budget, there's some lawyer in your ear being like, "You cannot do that." Not remotely. We are going to be in jail by lunchtime if anyone even walks on the set right now. I don't even want to be here, to be honest. I don't even want to know this happened.
We had
a rule, and that was safety second. Safety second. That's a phrase Jacob, that we always say.
We have a very similar mindset when it comes to filming.
Unfortunately.
Gentlemen, it was so nice meeting you. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
You too, Derek.
Thank you for your time.
Really nice having you on. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. Yeah, really appreciate it. And thanks for sharing the movie. And I mean, this is really why the movie gets to be seen more and more, is that people just keep talking about it. So thank you so much for reaching out to us and letting us tell
stories. Thank you. Thanks for making it. Took the words out of my mouth. Thank you for making it.
Right.
Yeah, and Jacob, keep saying nice things about me and talking me up.
I will.
You won't, you son of a bitch. All right. I love you guys. Have a good night.
We'll see you later, Derek.
Bye.
All right.
Good luck. Bye.
No worries. I'll keep saying good things about my movie. It's cool.
Anyway, let's get that shovel out and bury it. No, it's
okay. That's right. Now we can talk about my movie. I had a bloody good time.
Right. Well,
100% of the idea.
Seeing as we just have you now, I must ask, Twirl, where did the idea for the movie within a movie come from? Because that was one of the winning points of that movie for me. I wanted to see that movie by the end of House Harker. Oh, yeah. I genuinely did. I was like, "What the? Where's this going? I want to see what's going on with this guy."
There is so much more footage of the Twirl trailer and me and John Inge, who was our blood and effects guy on the movie. We wrote the Twirl, you know, trailer. And we actually pitched it to the team, and it was way too expensive to go do this whole trailer. But we wrote all these scenes and all the stuff. We had like drone shots of like baton twirling on a mountain, you know, all these things like this. And we just thought it would be really funny when we were creating the three characters, you know, me being a failed actor. We were talking about what would be something that somebody would go to Hollywood and be able to brag back at home about. And it's nothing to brag about. You know, it's like, it's not a very good movie. It's Lifetime level. And I can't remember who dreamed up the whole baton twirling concept, but the true story is about 6 months before we went to film, I ordered the baton in the mail and I told the team, I said, I'm going to learn how to use this and I'm going to get really, really good. And then we got about a month out of filming. I said, guys, I suck. I'm like, I cannot twirl this goddamn baton. And so they all were like, you know what? It's way funnier if Jerry sucks at twirling the baton and that it's all faked. And so that was a last minute change in the script, that originally I was going to be really good. And they were like, it's way funnier if he's terrible at it.
So. Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah. It's like the entire time you have this gag that's building, building, building. And finally, you get the punchline of, "Yeah, he got a stunt guy the whole fucking time."
Yeah. In the trailer, there's this arm that's whipping it around perfectly. That is not me. That is literally a guy who was helping us on set that day. Who goes, "I used to twirl a baton and marching band," and we're like, "Put on my jacket right now." And we got a video footage of him doing it just flawlessly. And so it worked out perfect. Worked out perfect. But yeah, it's what makes Jerry Jerry is that he is this person who has, you know, delusions of grandeur about himself, and then he really gets called to the carpet in the end.
That's amazing.
Oh, go ahead, Carter.
I was just gonna say, so two seasons of Good Cops, one season of Tumbleweed.
Three seasons of Good Cops, technically, if memory serves me correctly, isn't it?
Well, we have a Halloween special.
Okay. I was like, I missed a season. Interesting. I watched everything.
Yeah. No, we never got to make a season three, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. So, do you guys have anything else going on? Like,
that's such a cliffhanger ending.
You know, this was all during a time in our lives. It's kind of funny because all of us have children. All of us have families, and when we were making these things, the majority of us had very young babies at home, and were trying to do things, you know, pull us by the bootstraps and get things done. And we just worked our fingers to the bone for many, many years. And during that time, we developed like five or six other web series and films and ideas that are just kind of sitting on the side. But life came calling, the movie got released, and we got a chance to travel with film festivals. We went to Spain, went to Germany, we won the Nocturna Film Festival Audience Award in Spain, which was a very exciting, you know, and we were in a bunch of festivals and people really seemed to like it, but it just wasn't enough for all of us to be able to say, hey, this is what we do, we make movies now. And so we had to return back to the grinds and the you know, individual pursuits. And we still all, you know, get together and laugh and have beers and joke and say, you know, wouldn't it be fun to do another Good Cops? And it isn't long before we slip into bits and find ourselves reliving a lot of these things or laughing and going, oh, you know what we could do in House Harker 2? And so, you know, maybe if the fates allow, there will be an opportunity one day for us to do it. I know we would love it, and we would have a lot of fun if we could.
How did you find that that culture shock from taking the movie on tour to just having to go back to the normal from having had to do it occasionally myself? It's awful.
It's awful. I'll never forget. We were so close to a deal. I won't say with who. But I was at my last job, and Clayton and Noel were like, Jakey, make your Excel spreadsheet of your earnings, because this is what we're going to include in the whole thing. And I was like pulling coworkers. This was years ago. I was pulling coworkers aside, and I was like, I'm pretty much out of here. We're pretty much going to get this deal locked through. And then it all fell through. And that's just the name of the game in the movie business and the entertainment business. It's like you get so close and then things fall away. And that's not to beat a dead horse, but that's why we made House Harker ourselves. It's because it seemed like every meeting we would have, it was a lot of empty promises, like people saying, we'll help you do this. And then it falls through. So it was really no surprise in the end that we yet again had another opportunity to make something and it fell through. And it was like really the only way you're going to be able to get out there and make stuff is to make your own way. So it wasn't easy. But I now am very, very happy and fulfilled and do a lot of creative things and have a wonderful, you know, life with my family and my job. But I will always love the thought that I could one day, you know, go out there and play Jerry Harker one more time or something.
Well, and like you said, you know, everybody start having kids. I mean, you never know down the road, all of a sudden you guys, everybody's of the age bracket. So now you're doing something with your kids in there and stuff. So you never know. It would be awesome to see more stuff from you guys though.
Yeah. In House Harker, the scene that flashes back with the skull, with the children, those are our real kids.
That's cool.
The blonde playing me is my real son. The brown-haired boy with the glasses is Charlie's real son. And then the blonde was our director Clayton's real daughter. So it was a family affair. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Do you guys find, I don't know how to point the question, but like when the pandemic came and everything and people were on lockdown and kind of been forced to watch stuff from home, did you guys see a lot of maybe, because the film came out, was it back 2014, I believe, or no, 2016?
2016 or 2017 was when it was finally available on Amazon Prime. And so I definitely, like during the lockdown time, I remember posting stuff about the movie all the time and like saying, you know, you should watch this, you should watch that, especially during that era, because it was like, what else are you going to do? You're sitting at home. You might as well watch the movie. Might as well watch the movie that you said you were going to watch and you never did, you know? So I did push out there. Did we see a big spike? No. What we've really seen is Derek, who I am going to sing his praises. He is the champion of this film, and he is the force that gets us on podcasts, interviews, connects us to great people like you guys. He is just tenacious and really is the driving force that gets this movie seen by so many, because he is a part of the horror community. He really, really is, you know? And so a lot of this is him to thank.
That's definitely a really good community to be around, because that's kind of like our majority of our community is the horror community. And it's like, that's a community that really like vouches for their stuff, that really puts a lot of support in the horror movies or series and stuff like that. So it's definitely a good community to be pushing stuff on.
But it's also like you guys are like the fact that, you know, we can ask 100 people, but you guys took the time. Like, that's what makes it cool. Being able to sit down and talk to you guys and hear your stories, your thoughts, stuff like that.
Oh, we're happy to do it, guys. This has been really, really cool.
Well, Jacob, thanks for chilling and talking to us. What we're going to do is we're going to, for anyone who hasn't seen House Harker, if you didn't happen to be here, we're going to run the trailer, and then we're going to come back and we're going to do some real funny Christmas letters to Santa from some very entertaining kids. And then that'll be the end of the show. Do you want to stick around for the Christmas letters? You're more than welcome.
Sure.
Okay, cool. We're going to hit the trailer for I Had a Bloody Good Time at House Harker, and you'll have a bloody good time at House Harker too. Catch you in a moment. Bye.
Whoa! Oh, what is
that? It's his blood. It's gone.
Let me stop you right there. The legends of this town really scare people. It's that kind of talk that causes pandemonium.
Why are there spices in the fuse box?
I thought it was a spice rack.
If you cannot reimburse the $50,000, this property will be condemned and seized by the state.
What the hell am I gonna do now, guys?
People love vampire stuff.
People will pay good money to feel safe. And I sure as hell know you do not want to lose our house.
We hire an actor.
All right, I'll do it.
Not you.
We're gonna catch the vampire right here at House Harker. T-shirt.
Once the sun goes down, things are gonna get crazy!
Right, that was the trailer for I Had a Bloody Good Time at House Harker. Now, on to some Christmas letters from the kids.
Quick question from the chat. I just wanted to know if the movie will be available on hard media.
DVD.
Yep. There exists a DVD version that you can buy. Getting into Blu-ray is something that I know that we would really love to get to do, like as a maybe a specialty thing that you can buy online from us. But there does exist now a DVD version, but we've talked about that, and we'd love to make a physical media version available, maybe some, you know, collector edition type stuff. Because we do have what is it called, where you sit and you the voiceover
commentary, the movie commentary.
Commentary. We absolutely have the commentary for this movie. Yeah.
I'd say the commentary track. Is it the three or you and Derek or?
It's all of
us.
Oh,
wow. It's the whole I'd say the commentary track is nearly a separate watch in itself.
Yeah.
So, thank you for answering that question real quick.
Yeah.
Window capture and There we go.
Trying to see if there was any. Someone said they almost got killed by using a floor buffer. Joseph, that sounds terrible.
That sounds appropriately.
I was just going through the chat to see what's.
That sounds appropriately. That's all not bad. Good. Right.
No.
We're just going to do a quick. It's what Christmas.
I think that was in the discussion about.
It's Christmas letter.
The sucker, the shop vac, probably, right?
I think it was what you're talking about,
Derek's spinny thing.
Yeah.
The dangerousness of the thing that you said that he had to write on.
That's not what I'm.
Yeah.
Joseph, I'm the same way. I did collecting just a physical copy of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, horror community, you know, like music and whatnot, and film lovers, we love our collectibles, right?
Oh, yeah.
Our collector's items. Well, so I think we need to make one for sure.
Occupational work hazards, says Jason.
And for me, like, you know.
There is actual collectible potential out of that movie. If you had a collectible of the mermaid, that'd definitely sell. 100%.
Right, a little. Oh, that's so funny. Like a little wooden.
A little crude wooden figurine with perfectly shaped boobs.
Hilarious. You have you open it up and it's like.
Oh my God, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a treat for you guys. It's right here with me. I don't know why I didn't think to do this earlier. I keep it with me at my office, baby. It is right here.
Oh.
Twirl, baby, twirl.
I was saying, I heard you say, I saw that comment on Twitter that you said you'll have the baton. I wasn't sure.
It's like, give us a quick twirl, yeah. Jacob.
Yeah, here, wait. My stupid, this Skype has like a filter on me. I don't know why I wanted to. Here, let me see if I can turn this filter off. Okay, so because it.
I just figured.
At some stage, Skype just decided that it likes.
Okay. So here's how good I got, guys.
Hey, no, that's complete. No, you.
Bravo, sir.
Twirl 2 coming soon.
That's still more than
twirl, baby, twirl.
Bravo.
Right there.
Anyway, Buzz has scoured through the internet in the theme of Christmas, as it is December, and unfortunately, we have to celebrate that holiday. So we have some appropriately themed wacky Christmas letters from kids. So, dear Santa Claus, somebody's parent wrote that for them because there's a distinct difference in handwriting style that I noticed. I have been good this year. I want a bow and arrow, rock tumbler, mature stuff, love, Max.
Mature stuff.
Yeah, I'm
like
not quite
the statue
sure.
From
from House Archer.
That might be the
yes.
mature stuff. That might be the mature stuff they're talking about.
Ravioli, good grades, a girlfriend, some friends, people named Jeff, cheese. Daquan to love me, to become head rich?
Hood rich.
Oh, to become hood rich. Later bedtime.
These are mostly attainable.
I feel like that's priorities right there.
Yeah.
Or a shopping list.
Either or. Same.
But it's a bit of both.
Hood rich bedtime.
I mean, you know, I can see, you know, going somewhere and picking up cheese and chloroforming some
friends. Oh my God. Wow. Dear Santa, give the cookies to your stomach and the carrots to your reindeer. I wish I was eating the cookies from Isaiah.
They just eat the cookies.
Straight and to the point.
Dear Santa.
Santa.
I like how they've shot this at an angle, so it feels like you're reading the Star Wars opening credits. Dear Santa, this is only one thing I want. This is only one thing I want for Christmas. Okay,
there
yeah, that's cool. I can't read. Summer vacation. That one thing is to bring Leonardo DiCaprio to my house because I think he's cute and I would like to meet him. M-E-A-T.
No.
If you can do that, I would be so grateful. Thanks, Santa. You're sincerely Molly, 42 years old.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. I was going to say, what child knows about Leonardo DiCaprio?
Right. No,
everyone. I would totally see that 42-year-old. I get it now.
Don't forget, Romeo and Juliet, when it was remade with him in it, was shown to a lot of schools because it was...
Right.
Representation
but
of,
then that yeah. would also be Molly 42 at this point.
Oh, I did watch that in school.
Yeah, everyone watched it in school because it's word for word,
I
Romeo and Juliet.
Wow.
They just cinematically changed the themes. I'm not going to get into that movie
Baz
right now.
Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet, which is a great soundtrack. Good soundtrack.
Yeah.
I liked some of the smart cinema stuff they did with, like, say, because they wanted it to be kind of like a gang movie where they had the guns, but the guns were named after the swords. I thought that was like a cool little.
Yeah. Cutlass.
I did.
He just said he did. Why
I did, Jack Carter. I also really enjoyed Kenneth Branagh's version of Othello, just to let you know, just in case you're wondering.
That's a good one. I like
It's so good, and they managed to keep it all, everything, like dialogue wise, is there. But the way they shoot some of the scenes make you look at stuff slightly differently to the way you would read it, you know. And I thought that was cool. Anyway, moving on. Santa,
before we get into Sons of Anarchy conversation,
because Sons of Anarchy, I mean, like, that's essentially just anyway. Moving on. Hamlet. Yeah.
Hamlet.
Santa. Was it Hamlet that fucking Kenneth Branagh did? Oh, I can't remember. It's Hamlet.
Yeah,
it's
Hamlet.
Sorry, not Othello.
Kenneth Branagh did Much Ado About Nothing, Hamlet, Othello. He did tons.
It's the Hamlet one I'm thinking of. His version of Hamlet. Yeah. Santa, I just want you to know I love big butts and I cannot deny. That is what I wanted you to know. That's good.
Oh, now we know.
You're sincerely Giz, 40 years old.
I knew it.
Dear Santa.
I knew it. Okay. So. That makes more sense.
Dear Santa, I want a rainbow. Sorry. This is all one sentence. I want a rainbow unicorn that poops ice cream. P.S. I better get it too.
Who doesn't?
Have you ever seen the advert for the Squatty Potty?
Oh, that is not right.
Because it literally has a unicorn poop and ice cream.
Yeah. Oh, didn't we watch that after
we did? Because have you seen the Squatty Potty advert, Jacob? Yeah. Goddamn, that's a masterpiece. I love that. Dear Santa, please text my dad. He has my whole list. I love you, Tennessee. Dear Santa. Kaka, mom and dad. It's AKA, but it sure looks like Kaka. So I'm just saying, I hate you and I hate Christmas. You ruined it.
Woo!
Someone found something.
Someone
out.
Just found out a secret Ooh. About the magic of Christmas.
Yeah.
Someone got told the light sent his
room. That's harsh.
Yeah. Right. I've never really seen spite so fantastically encapsulated in text.
Right?
Yeah. That's got Grinch vibes. Yeah. Like David.
Even
Grinch
the way it's
something.
Written has anger all over it. That person's in therapy now. I can tell you, guarantee you that.
Yeah.
This is from last week, but it's just, Dear Santa, how are you? I'm good. Here's what I want for Christmas. http://www.
Oh, yeah.
Amazon.com. I appreciate
it. Download the link, Santa.
Well, that's it for us, guys. Thank That's you so great. Much to Jacob for hanging on and doing some Santa letters with us, and for Derek and both of them coming on, chatting about the movie and everything.
Love the movie.
If you have Amazon Prime, please go and watch this movie and tell your friends, because they... tell them Johnny Deadly sent you. I'm guaranteeing you they're going to have a good time watching it. Okay?
We had a bloody good time.
Yeah, you'll have a bloody good time at House Harker. We had a blast doing it, and it's also, for what it's worth, it's available on Tubi. I don't know if you guys have ever used the service Tubi before, but if the person didn't have Amazon Prime for whatever reason, you can find it on there with commercials.
Giz and I de facto refer to Amazon because we don't get Tubi in Europe.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, so, us Americans do.
Also, the chat, Hater says, thank you both for being here. Hater has been to this interview.
So psyched, like, since he heard this interview was happening.
Yeah.
Did he have any questions?
Did you have any questions?
Yeah,
Hater,
yeah, he never asked anything. Like, but he's just
because he mentioned that he had. Unless we asked it already.
Yeah, if he has anything he wants to ask me before we wrap things up, I'm happy to answer.
Yeah,
what
but
I
he's been
but,
super stoked about this interview.
All right, he does.
Hang on,
he says I actually did. So yeah,
hit us with a question, Hater.
Yeah, I noticed, because I rewatched it again today, because I think the last time we watched it was when we did for the group watch. I'm like, I'll refresh myself. And I noticed it popped up saying it was on Tubi. But it's like, I have Amazon Prime, so I'm like, I use it there, so I have to sit with the commercials, because Tubi and their commercials
Four commercials of cars.
People who have that ability to have like an Amazon or Netflix or something like that. Yeah, so we did an interview with somebody a while back that was had a movie on there, the Titanic 666. It's got some good movies on there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, the only thing that's worth seeing possibly is that the picture quality, Tubi has some kind of better compression or something for the version that's on Tubi. Because whenever I see it on Tubi, I'm always like, whoa, this is a much like higher quality looking image and everything. So
I know Fox acquired them or something like that. So maybe it's some kind of Fox broadcasting techniques that they use or something.
My ADD just can't handle the commercials.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I tried to show my son something with commercials the other day. You know, like we had to watch commercials. And by like the second time through, he was like, oh, my God. And I was like, you would not have survived my childhood.
Well, that's just it. Like,
YouTube was the worst.
Like, I grew up in the whole commercial age. And so, like, I've gotten used to being able to stream and binge now. And, like, you know, my youngest is like, Dad, this is the same commercial. I know, sweetie. Even in my day, we didn't have the same commercial. But it is what it is.
I know it's true. It's true, right? Like with the streaming one, they just run, you know.
Anyway. What JC asked was, he said, so while we were watching the movie, I felt some vibes of like Dale and Tucker versus Evil and Zack and Miri Make a Porno. Were there any specific inspirations for the movie?
Yeah, definitely. Clayton, our director, Clayton Cogswell, is a huge fan of Edgar Wright. And there's definitely the quick cut elements of Edgar Wright in there. That I think that we were inspired by Shaun of the Dead, of course. And I don't remember if Tucker and Dale had come out at that time or not, or if it was around the time that we were writing it. But all of us, there's so many nods to like Evil Dead. There's even a part where Walter stands up with the plan and he points and he goes, work shed. And that's straight on a reference to Evil Dead work shed, you know? And so we were trying to pepper in a lot of the influence of the films that we had along the way so that people would catch them. But those two specifically, Zack and Miri and Tucker and Dale, you know, that I think it's just a happy coincidence if they have some tones that are similar.
Does anyone else have any questions before we go?
Because it's weird. Like, our chat has been extremely quiet. Like, everybody hopped in and said hi. And they're usually extremely chatty, right? We've done shows where, like, they've kind of like, hey, let them do them. And they had, like, Pokemon.
Entire conversations.
Right, like, it's been a weird deal tonight. Usually people are...
It's a good thing because they're paying attention to what's being said as opposed to having their own side conversation.
I was mostly listening as what JC said. Yeah. Well, we did just start bantering quite fluidly, so...
Yeah. Kind of and I am a talker. I'm a talker. Once you get me going, I had to several times stop myself. I was like, oh man, I just keep talking.
Oh no, we're happy. We're all the exact same.
We're the same. Sometimes our podcast can go from two and a half hours to whatever. Yeah. We just stop talking.
To Giz about the fall asleep in his chair because it's nearly
Hater half says, morning. Yeah.
You know it's not even 2 o'clock yet, Giz. Okay, right.
I'm on about other times.
Hater said, but the film...
I'm good.
Peter said, but the film was awesome and a pleasant surprise. Joseph said, I'm usually asking more questions. I just couldn't think of any.
I really hope you guys get the chance to continue with more projects.
Same.
Hope so too. Yeah.
I'd love to see a House Harker too. Where
we would too. We have a really good story idea.
Is it vampires again or do the boys run into something different? Nope. Excellent.
It is the direction we're going is exactly what is hinted at the very last line of the movie is where they would be going next. So if you remember what Walter says to us as we're standing outside the house, that's where we went. And that would not be cheap.
No.
No.
I don't know.
I think
so we would need some.
I think if you crowdfunded it, there seems to be enough of a buzz about the movie that I think if you crowdfunded it, you'd be surprised what you could.
Yeah.
You could do. I mean, Terrifier 2 is a prime example of that. Like, do you know what I mean? The movie came out, it was super low budget. People just really got behind it. And when the crowdfunder for Terrifier 2 came out, you know, it went absolutely crazy. I'd love to see you guys back. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie from start to finish. It cracked me up. I had a great time with it.
And you guys just know my ADD. Like, you held me, and that's a hard thing to do. So it was like,
yeah, there's a rating system for the movies based on Carter's ADD specifically.
Yeah, really. Doesn't matter how cool the movie is. Like, Carter's like, I got.
We're gonna try to get some Carter ADD reviews into the TV show at some point. So
Joseph is saying they should make House harder on Betamax.
Go old school. There we go.
Yeah. Anyway, that's going to be it from all of the Gorecast. And Jacob, yet again, thank you so much for being on the show. And tell Derek, thank you again for being on the show as well. We're going to be back on Thursday, where we're going to have a whole other host of Christmas-themed horror movies to chat with. And then we'll be back with you on Sunday for more of the festive Dungeons & Dragons special known as Murder World. We'll catch you all then. See you later, guys. Gorecast out, fuckers.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.